produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
And as we continue on in this series, I want to begin and I want to start in Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, and I want to read just one verse, Hebrews chapter 6, beginning at, and I just want to read verse 17 to start. That would be our luncheon pad on today, Hebrews chapter 6. And I want to read verse 7. I'm reading from the Message version. And in the Message version, it reads, "When God wanted to guarantee his promises, he gave his word. A rock-solid guarantee. God can't break his word. And because his word cannot change, the promise is likewise unchangeable." Look at somebody, tell them the promise don't change. The promise does not change. And as we look at this, I wanted to give you the simple thesis in one short sentence, or I'll give you a key statement today. I'll give you a key statement and we'll stick with that. Key statement for today is never allow a lack of resources to interfere with your vision for your life. Never allow, listen to what I just said, never allow a lack of resources to interfere with the vision God has given to you in your life. Whatever God says, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17 says, we have a rock solid guarantee. We have a word that cannot change. The promise is likewise unchangeable. Look at somebody, tell them his promises don't change. I know you're used to dealing with people who promises change. They tell you they're going to be there with you through thick and thin. And when thick gets too thick, they leave out because their promises don't mean anything, but God's promises mean everything. And we've got to learn how to depend and trust in God and on God because God's word never fails. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but God's word will stand forever. Jesus said, before one jot or tittle of my word shall fail, he says, heaven and earth will pass away. Is there anybody in here that know God's word never fails? Look at somebody, tell them it never fails. So whatever God has promised you in this season of your life, understand that you've got to trust that God will bring it to pass. And listen, you've got to hold on to the fact that God is going to do it for you. I know that the doctor says this, but you've got to trust that I'm believing that God is going to heal and deliver. You've got to trust that regardless of what the bank says, that God has already said it and that settles it. It's going to happen. You got to stop looking at the statistics and stop reading the Times Magazine and the New York Times. And you got to know that regardless of all of that, I'm trusting in God. Well, I want to allow you to know that you can never be limited. Look at somebody, tell them don't limit yourself. I want to give you four limits that you can never allow that you can never allow to interfere with your vision. Number one, limited resources. Shout limited resources. Limited resources can be overcome. If you have a lack in resources, understand a lack in resources can be overcome. How do you know they can be overcome? The Bible allows us to know. Remember that in John chapter 6, there was a young man there, a little boy that has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And the people are hungry from hearing Jesus teach. And remember, Andrew says, what is this among all of these people? And Jesus says, just give it to me. Bring me to lunch. The Bible says he takes 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. And as Jesus begins praying, as he's breaking and praying and breaking and praying, all of a sudden, he's got enough food to feed 5,000, not even counting the women and children. I'm here to let you know that whatever you're lacking, God has more of. Somebody needs to know God got more of it. You need to declare it. God got more of it. So limited resources can be overcome. But then number 2, limited knowledge can always be overcome. I've discovered that what you can't do does not mean it can't be done by you. Look at somebody shout, what is he talking about? Okay, let me be clear. Just because you can't do it don't mean God won't raise somebody up to help you do what you need doing. God will call somebody to come alongside of you to help assist you with what you're unable to do. Okay, maybe you don't understand that this thing is not just about one person. It's about a multiplicity of people. And what we've got to do is help one another. In other words, what God gives to you, he does not give it just to you, but he gives it to you so that you can be a blessing to somebody else. Look at somebody, ask them, who are you blessing? With your selfish self. Limited knowledge can always be overcome. I want to read a scripture to you in Numbers chapter 10. In Numbers chapter 10, and as we look at this in Numbers 10, verse 29, it says, Moses said to his brother-in-law, Hobab, son of Reuel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are marching to the place about which God promised. And when he said, I'll give it to you, come with us. We'll treat you well. God has promised great things for Israel. Verse 30, but Hobab said, I'm not coming. I'm going back home to my own country, to my own family. Look at somebody, tell them, don't miss your blessing. So somebody's on the verge of missing their blessing because they're being selfish about what God has blessed them with. We're getting ready, and we talked about sacrifice, and many of us, we shut down immediately. But you got to understand your blessing is in sacrifice, because what you make happen for the kingdom of God, God in turn make happen for your house. Look at somebody, tell them, please don't be selfish, because God has more for you. But you've got to be willing to trust God and all that God wants to do with you. Okay, notice Hobab says, I'm going home. I'm not going with y'all. I'm going back home. And that's many of our mentality. I don't want nothing to do with it. I'm going back home. I'm going to stay right where I am. He says, listen, I'm going home because I got something else going on. And notice what Moses says to his brother-in-law. Moses countered in verse 31 and 32. Don't leave us. Look at somebody, tell him, don't leave. You about to miss out on what God is about to do if you leave. Don't look at them, tell them, don't leave. I know you got plans to leave, but don't leave. You're going to miss out on what God is about to do. And watch not only what he's about to do in this house, but you're going to miss out on what he's going to do in your house. Don't leave because you're tied. You're connected to something that's greater than you. Notice, Bible says, Moses counted, don't leave us. You know all the best places to camp in the wilderness. He says, we need your eyes. If you come with us, we'll make sure you share in all the good things God will do for us. Okay, y'all missed it, didn't you? In other words, Moses knows where they're going. Moses understands where they've come from, but he also has had a preview of where God is taking them to. And he understands that where God is taking them to is a lot greater than where they've been. Where they've been in the wilderness. Where they've been in slavery. Where they've been in between a rock and a hard place. But God is getting ready to take them to their promised land. And Moses says, Hobab, don't you miss out on where God is taking us. I know you know where we've been, but you don't know where we're going. Here's a word for somebody. I need to let you know that before you make the decision to leave, you better understand that you might know where you've been, but you don't know where we're going. Is there anybody here that knows we're getting ready to go up? Look at somebody, tell them we're going up. God is taking us higher, and since God is taking us higher, I ain't finna leave my blessing. Because my blessing is tied to my connectivity. He says limited knowledge can always be overcome. God will raise someone to help get the vision for my life accomplished. Yo, I've seen God open a door and then connect you with the right people when you walk in. I've seen God in the midst of people hating and talking about you. And so many times, many of us, we get bogged down on who ain't with us and who's talking against us and who's not for us. Lady, let me help you out. Gentlemen, let me help you out. If God be for us, he's more than the world is against us. So you can have the whole world against you. But if you got God, that's all you need. Limited resources can always be overcome. Limited knowledge can always be overcome. Here's a third one. Limited opportunities can always be overcome. Somebody says, well, you know, they don't give me a chance. I don't understand why ain't nobody gave me a chance. Well, you don't need a whole bunch of chances. All you need is the right one chance. You see, if I get the right one opportunity, that's all I need. Look at somebody and tell them, I just need the right one. I know you've been in a whole bunch of relationships. All of them been bad. But you just need the right one. Come on, encourage somebody around you. Tell them you just need the right one, baby. You just need the right one. Do it in your Ray Charles voice. Say, you just need the right one, baby. If you get the right... Okay. Somebody in here right now needs to understand, I don't need a whole bunch of opportunities, but if the right door opens, if God opens the right door, all I need is the right door. It don't have to be a whole bunch of doors, but if he opens up the one door, I promise I ain't gonna mess it up. I done messed up a whole lot of stuff. I done messed up a whole lot of times, but Lord, if you just give me the right one, I just need one right door to open, and I promise I'll get it right. Bible says in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, and Jabez, verse 9, was more honorable than his brothers. His mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him with sorrow. Now notice, he had sorrow and pain that he was born in. We don't know the history, but we do know he admits that his past is less than good.
Verse 10 says, and Jabez called on the God of Israel. I just need the right opportunity. He said, saying, oh, that you would bless me. Bless me indeed. Enlarge my coast. And that your hand might be with me. And that you would keep me from evil. That it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. It's almost as if Jabez is praying a prayer, saying, Lord, bless me, enlarge my territory, keep your hand on me, and then keep me from evil, because I know that I have the propensity to do wrong, but keep me, even when I want to do wrong, from doing wrong. And if I do wrong, keep me in the wrong so that I can get right again. That's almost what Jabez is praying. And notice what he says. It says, and God granted him that which he requested. All you got to pray is the right prayer. You've been praying the wrong prayer. You praying for other folks' stuff. You need to pray for your stuff. Stop praying that God bless you with what somebody else has, and pray that God opens up your door, opens up your window, and gives you the ability to walk through what he has for you. Because what God has for you, is there anybody here that knows? It is for me. So just because you have limited opportunities, all I need is the right one. Look at somebody, tell them the right one. My prayer for you this year is that you walk through the right door. Because for many of us, we walk through every door that's open. Had a member call me, and she said, Pastor, I got an opportunity. She said, and I don't know what to do. I said, well, give me all of the stuff about it. She said, well, I got another job opportunity. She said, it makes this amount of money, and it's this, and it's this. I said, oh, okay. Well, it sounds to me, based upon what I know about you, that God has set you up for your blessing. I said, what have you been praying for? She told me what she'd been praying for. I said, well, what are you calling me for? Because God has opened the door that you've been praying for. Your prayer has been matched up with what God is giving to you. Because God ain't gonna give to you what ain't gonna match for you, especially if you've been praying for it. If it's in line with God, it's not a sin with God, then it sounds like God is speaking to you. You better go on and accept the position, because God has opened the door. All I'm trying to convey to somebody is, on this year, my prayer is that God would open the right door for you. Why don't you testify and prophesy to somebody and just shout, Lord, open the right door for my row. Everybody around me, open the right door for them. If you're at the house, I want you to just walk around and just anoint your house, and just shout, open the right door for my children, open the right door for my spouse, open the right door for my nephew, open the right door for my niece. Is there anybody here that knows I need God to open the right door? Why don't you just declare it? Lord, open the right door for me. So limited opportunities can always be overcome. Here's the fourth one, dealing with limits. Limited credentials can always be overcome. A lot of stuff you really don't qualify for. You really don't have the resume for it. But your limited credentials are being overcome. Some of the stuff you put on your resume didn't need to go on the resume in the first place. But I need you to know that in this season, what God is doing is he's allowing your limited credentials to be overcome. Look at somebody, tell them, I know that's right. Yeah, no, look at somebody else and tell them, I know that's right. Let's look at it, because in Judges chapter 6, I want to look at limited credentials just for a minute, because you've got to understand that everybody you think qualifies may not necessarily qualify. Matter of fact, let me, Judges chapter 6, Bible says, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, talking about Gideon, and said to Gideon, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. The term valor basically means strength. He's mighty in strength. But now watch what strength does. Verse 15, if you skip down to verse 15, he said unto him, O my Lord, how and with what shall I save Israel? My family is poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my daddy's house. Now notice, he's pointing out everything wrong with him. Before I go any further, let me tell you, everybody in here has something wrong with them. Matter of fact, let's be clear. Look at the person. Just look at somebody on your right. Look at them on your left. Look behind you, if you don't mind. Look left, right. Look behind you. And those of y'all that's online, if you would, just go look at the people that's in your house. If you're sitting beside somebody, you're sitting next to somebody or close to somebody, just look at them. And I just need you to know it's something wrong with them. But hold on, before you start talking about them, it ain't just something wrong with them. It's something wrong with you. All of us got something wrong with us. Some of us, we hide it better than others. Some of us, we put a wig on and we just sashay just a little bit better. Some of us know how to take a pill. Others of us know how to roll it up, smoke. Something wrong with all. And if you think it ain't nothing wrong with you, it's worse than what you think. Notice what Gideon does. He points out what's wrong with him. He does not point out what's wrong with everybody else. And here's what I need you to understand. You are in the line of blessing when you can articulate, I got a problem. God can use you when you can be honest with him and say, Lord, you just don't understand. My family is poor. Matter of fact, I'm the least in my father's house. And you don't understand. I'm scared of my own shadow, Lord. How in the world are you going to call me a mighty man of strength when I'm full of fear? I notice what God is doing to him. God is not calling him what he is. God is calling him what he's making him to be. Bible says in the very next verse, and the Lord says unto him, I know all that about you. I know everything you listed and then some. He says, but surely I will be with thee. You will kill the Midianites as one man. Okay, your limited credentials can always be overcome. Many of us, we look at our stories and we think that where we are, that God can't use us. But you do know that God uses people in worse shape than you all the time. And many of us hide behind the fear that people are going to find out what we've done. We hide behind the fear that someone knows where we used to go, that someone knows where we just came out from. When the truth is, somebody that just like you, that's sitting right here in this place, came out from the same spot that you came out from. The only difference is they got out before you did. Is there anybody here that knows? You got to know that God can still use me. So limited resources can be overcome, limited knowledge can be overcome, limited opportunities can be overcome, and limited credentials can be overcome. You see, if you're going to have a blueprint for your life, and I need to rush on, if you're going to have a blueprint for your life, you got to understand, and I want to deal with these seven perspectives real quick, and I'm done. You got to understand, number one, the first one is you've got to deal with the law of perspective. The law of perspective. If I'm going to build me a blueprint, I got to deal with my perspective. I've got to see my future from God's perspective rather than man's perspective. We tend to believe what we see. You have to see what God says. In other words, you got to look at life and say, I'm a victor and not a victim. You can't constantly call up what happened to you when you were 13 years old and 14 years old. If somebody abusing and misusing you and you 38 years old, come on now, you got to give some of your problem to yourself and say, I like being abused. Because at any point, you could walk out. So you got to look at life through a different perspective. Okay, that's the first blueprint you got to lay down. And the second line you got to draw is passion. Shout passion. Where is your passion? When you pursue something, you got to pursue it with all of your passion and energy. You find the sense of urgency to complete what you start. In other words, I'm not starting something and not going to finish it. Because I've got passion. What I believe in, I throw my heart into it. I'm not going to tell you I'm going to be your pastor and not put passion into it. I'm not going to get up here and preach boring sermons because I got passion about what I believe in. So where is your passion? Many of us, we show no passion when we come to church. You sit there and you just, well, you know, I don't get excited about anything. Football, basketball game. Man, I can't understand why that happened. But you ain't got no passion. Oh, you have passion. You have passion. Just say, I don't have passion for God. Because when I come to this house is not about who I'm fighting with, who I'm disagreeing with, who I don't like. This house is about my love for him. I can put all of that aside, lift up my hands, and worship his name. I've been in churches where me and the pastor didn't get along. And he didn't even know it by the way I was shouting doing his sermon. Because I understand that God can use the vessel and bring glory even though I don't like the vessel. Y'all, okay, let me make it clear. Janine brings home all this stuff. Janine and EJ, they number one fans of this stuff. They bring home all this stuff. Everywhere they go, they like to bring these cups home. You can tell where they've been based upon the cups they bring home. Everywhere they go, they bring home. I said, Janine, why don't you throw these out? And she said, well, this means something to me. I said, you need to throw this out. We got too many of these things. She said, no, well, this one means something to me. I said, well, when you going to use them? So it wasn't until I said something, she started using the vessels that had been sitting on the shelf. Now, even though I don't like the vessels are still usable and viable. Let me see if I can help somebody out. It's a lot of folk. I don't want to hear them sing. I don't want to hear them pray. But listen, I'm not the one that decides who's going to pray, who's going to sing, who's going to preach. Because I understand it's his program. And he's the one that writes the names down. It's a whole lot of folk. I would write their name out and would blot it out and wouldn't put it in. But is there anybody here that knows God uses whoever he chooses? And whoever God uses, I got to sit there and I got to allow the vessel to be used by the Spirit of God. I know it's a lot of folk, you may not care for me. I may not be your flavor. I ain't your cup. You want to sit me on the shelf. But I'm viable. Notice, there's a law of passion. But then, in the blueprint, you got to have priority. Man, I'm about to shout myself with this one. Look at somebody, tell me, you got to have priority. What is first in your life? You can tell what's first by how you prioritize your scheduling. Told Janine a long time ago when we first started at this church, and she knows how I am about church, and I didn't get that way just by coming to this church. I've always been that way about Sundays. Sundays are the utmost of importance to me. When it comes to traveling, I may miss two Sundays a year, possibly. Because Sundays are non-negotiable to me. We can go all around the world. Long as the plane leaves Sunday evening, get back before Sunday morning, I'll take you wherever, baby, but I gotta be at church Sunday morning. Because my priority is God. I know you can't understand that. You're saying, well, Pastor, listen, you can miss a few Sundays. No, you can miss. I cannot miss. I'm dedicated to this. My dedication is not to you. My dedication is to God, who one day I've got to stand before him. I got to give an account. How I managed what he gave me. There's going to come a day, and it's coming soon, y'all. Don't you think they shooting down weather balloons. They shooting down some other stuff. Don't you dare believe just what you reading in the news. It's some other stuff going on. And those with spiritual eyes can see that God is getting ready to come back. Y'all can sit there and say, oh, they shot down another weather balloon. Them ain't weather balloon. It's something else going on. And by the time we find out, it'll be too late. You better prepare, because your priority is going to be called into question. Don't you dare become lethargic at this point. Don't you dare become lazy at this point. You better serve God more than you've ever served him before. Don't you see that the warning signs are on us? Don't you hear that God is winding up and getting ready to come back? You better change your priority while you got time. I don't want to be found in the presence of God short of what he gave me to manage. God comes back. I'm standing bowed before him. Want God to be able to say to me, well done, my good and faithful servant. Better change your priorities. Seek God while he can be found. You better wake up early as God is waking you up, not just to go to the bathroom, but while you in that bathroom, you better bow down on your knees at 3 a.m. in the morning and tell the Lord, thank you for all you've done. Give me the power to tell somebody that you're on your way back. Your priority has to change. Put God first. You can't put money first. I think, well, I'm going to put God first when I get this and when I get that. No, along the way, as you're grabbing stuff, God needs to be first. Because once you get on top of the mountain that you built, if you didn't put them first along the way, you're going to stand there at the top of the mountain and say, this all belongs to me, God. How dare you ask of any of mine? I did this myself. Seek God first. Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek first kingdom of God and his righteousness. He adds all the other stuff. Has to be a law in your blueprint that says my priority has got to change. I've got to open my eyes. I've got to open my eyes to the things of God. I can't serve God and the devil. Many of us, we cool with the devil as long as he don't bother us. And we high five the devil. We love playing around with the devil. And then we come to the church and shout, we love God. How can you love God and have allegiances aligned with the devil? Devil hates God. He wants to be God. Wants to take the place of God. Wants you to worship him like God. And many of us have fallen into the trap of worshiping the devil. We see things and we don't say nothing. We become silent with our children and we egg them on and let them know, well, as long as you got time, it's going to be all right. No, you got to let them know. No, you got to seek God first right now because there may not be time. You don't know when God is going to call you home. You've got to trust God now. People said a lot of stuff about my children. Some of it I took personal. Others of it I said, you know, they don't know my relationship with my children. And let me tell you, it's a hurtful thing when people start saying things about and around your children, especially when they're young. One day we were having a conversation. Our children were of age. They were about 19 and 17, and we were out talking about church. We didn't have these conversations when they were younger. We would tell them to leave the room. But on this particular day, Janine and I had a serious conversation. We had heard some stuff that somebody said, and they said it. I mean, it was said. It was boldly said. And so we said, you know, EJ, Julian, this, that, and the third, blah, 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 blah. And they said, oh, we've been hearing that stuff since we was 12 years old. I said, what do you mean? They said, well, in the hallway, you get to hear a whole bunch of stuff that people say. I said, at 12 years old, y'all were hearing stuff like that? I said, oh, we heard it way before then. I said, and y'all still serve and worship God and give to God the way y'all do? They said, oh, Daddy, we don't worry about people because when we pray at night, they ain't nowhere around. I said, now, that's the kind of relationship I want. Because if you can hear the negative stuff as a child growing up and still praise God and still give to God, and let me tell you, they some strong givers too. I mean, they some real grown givers too. They up there on the list with giving. I ain't talking about no playing around. They real givers and trust God and serve God. Julian will drive home from Chattanooga if we need him. He'll always say, well, Daddy, if so-and-so was out, why you didn't call me? I could have drove home from Chattanooga and I would have been there for Sunday. I said, no, Julian, that's too far for you to drive. We waiting on you to graduate. And when you come back, you can work in the church. And listen, you got to know one thing, that when you can serve God amidst all of the ugliness that people throw out, you got to understand God is truly God of your life. And many of us, we fall out at the church because somebody sung our song. We fall out because somebody didn't call our name. We fall out over the silliest stuff. Just wait till the day when they start persecuting Christians in America. Many of us are going to pretend like we never knew the Lord. But you've got to have the tenacity and the faith in your priority to say, I love God with everything that I have. Well, let me close here. I ain't going to get through them all today. I'm done. But you got to have passion. Your passion, your priority has to be to the place and point that nothing turns you away from God. Listen, you got to go through hell and high water in your relationship with God. There are going to be times that you're not going to understand why God is allowing this to happen to you. Out of all the people, why did this happen? You doing right. You serving God. You tithing and you show up early. You the first one there and the last one to leave. And God allowed this to happen to you. And in the midst of it all, you got to stand there and still give God your all. Well, I'm done.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.